Blessed good morning to all of you in Radio Land. My name is Victoria Wallach, a member of the Rockhall Church of the Nazarene. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you once again to another Because He Lives program, hosted by the District Women's Fellowship. This program is made possible by the kind sponsorship of the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District and Federal Motor Spirits, located at Bank Hall Crossroads, St. Michael. I pray this morning that this message will cause you to want to know Christ or know Him better, and as well as make Him known. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be numbered among those who are alive today. We join with the songwriter this morning and declare that You are able to save, You are able to keep, and You are able to satisfy. I pray wherever Your sheep are this morning, and even those that are not yet of this fold, that on hearing this message, something positive would be stirred in their hearts. Those that might listen to the podcast later, let it have the same effect, so that the willingness to make You known throughout the world would be ignited. I take authority over the airwaves even now. May nothing occur to prevent this message from reaching Your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This morning, I want to speak to you on the theme, Odor or Aroma. What scent are you willingly leaving behind? And my text this morning will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, reading from verse 12 through to verse 17. Odor or Aroma. What scent are you willingly leaving behind? Anyone that has a nose is familiar with smells. Although at times it might be difficult to pinpoint exactly what the smell is, most persons generally agree on things that carry a foul odor or a pleasant smell. Smells can alert us to danger. For example, a gas leak, smoke, dangerous chemicals, etc. We can know if food is rotten without tasting it just by the smell. Smells can also be attached to our emotions. They can trigger either happy or sad thoughts, based on what is associated with them. For instance, things like bread, bacon, flowers, perfume, etc. There are also those awful smells we endure at times, which could make one wish that noses didn't exist. Although persons like myself who wear glasses would totally disagree, if we did a survey to find out persons' favorite fragrance, we would no doubt receive a variety of answers. However, I believe there are certain things in life that are just not worth smelling. For instance, a sewage, a dead rat, or a decaying body. I dare say, if there are so many things offensive to our noses, just imagine how God must react to the putrid stench of sin. The story is told of some children who decided to play a trick on their grandfather. While he was taking a nap, they sprayed his mustache with bug spray. When he woke up, he sniffed the air and said, "Something in this house stinks." He went into the kitchen and said, "This kitchen stinks." He went outside and said, "The whole world stinks." Little did he know, it wasn't the world that stunk, it was him. It was the scent he carried. So I ask you today, what scent are you willingly leaving behind? In the scripture we have before us today, Paul gives us a picture imagery of a victory processional to convey his teaching, and it reads thus. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. As long as there have been battles and wars, as long as there have been conquerors and the vanquished, there have been parades. The Roman Empire was no exception. After warfare, the victorious general, together with his troops, would return home to a victory parade. They, together with some spoils and prisoners of war, would march through the city. Jubilant crowds would cheer them on. A large banquet would be served. The Roman general would march in victory with his entourage, consisting of two groups, those that are saved and those that perish. The first group consisted of those allowed to live as slaves of the empire. They were being led into a new life. The latter group was the condemned. They were being led to their death. Each group carried a burning incense. The one was a savor of death unto death. The other was a fragrance of life unto life. In virtually all cases, the festivities were enhanced by the spreading of large amounts of flower petals where available. As the people crushed them, their smell would fill the air along with the incense. The perfume odors would spread throughout the city, and everyone would be aware of what was happening. Even for those not present, their day would be brightened by the aromas floating into their homes and businesses. That smell meant victory to the martyrs and the crowd, but it also meant defeat and execution to the captives in the parade. It was a celebration time, with smells being a very intentional part of the whole affair, designed to build a mood and enhance the festivities. Victory parades with perfume in the air, that's the image in the mind of the Apostle Paul as he writes the words we read earlier. Paul was having a tough time facing challenges from some upstart preachers who would have wandered into town making rather brash claims about themselves, trash-talking Paul and his colleagues. Even though he was in the middle of formulating his defense, he burst into praise. No matter how difficult things were personally, there was something deeper which was positive. Paul celebrated in the first half of verse 14 the fact that God causes his people to triumph. The second part of verse 14 indicates that Christians who walk with Christ are dispersing the presence of God wherever God leads them. The knowledge of God is the sweet aroma which Paul is igniting like an incense bearer. Note that the leading and manifesting is all of God. It is God who led Paul in triumph and God who is manifesting the knowledge of Christ through him and us in every place. The Apostle Paul, just as we are, was only the vessel or instrument through whom the fragrance was released. Paul thanked God that Christ was being made known everywhere he went because he lived his daily life in Christ and not in the flesh. I am not sure what kind of cologne or perfume any of you like to wear, but the truth of the matter is, we will smell like what we are around the most. We pick up more fragrances than we put on, depending on where we spend our time. Some people may smell like barbecue, others may smell like cigarettes, but God wants us to smell like Jesus. Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, defined a saint as someone who made it easy to believe in Jesus. The more we carry his aroma, the more the world will pick up that scent on us before we ever speak a word about him. The problem is that when we smell like Jesus, it will be attractive to some and very offensive to others. The robber thought he had committed the perfect crime. He had left no clues, or so he assumed. What he didn't count on was someone remembering how he smelled. One witness did and was able to identify the suspect because of something he had left behind. We leave something wherever we go. In this case, it's not an odor, but influence. A story by Stuart Holden reminds us of this truth. A young man who had been living in a boarding house was packing his bags to move to another town. When the owner of the house asked him if he had everything, he replied, "I think so. I'm just making sure I'm not leaving anything behind." Wisely, the owner reminded him, "There's one thing you will leave behind, young man, your influence. If you are a Christian, you have been called by God to let your life make a favorable impression on others, even people you do not know personally. Whether you are in the office, in your home, at the store, or in school, ask yourself, is my influence Christ-like? Do people know you because of your kind comments, your loving concern, your generous spirit, and your respect for others? If not, what you are leaving behind is an influence that is worse than the telltale odor of the robber who got caught. A heart kindled by love for for God will flow with the sweet attracting aroma of our Lord. That's the kind of influence we need to leave behind, which will make it easy to believe in Jesus. In verse 15, picking up the picture of the incense that was part of the procession, Paul even refers to the sharing of the gospel as the diffusing of the fragrance of God. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. In spreading the fragrance of Christ, the believer himself becomes an aroma. By us, God diffuses the knowledge of Christ as a fragrance because it is well-pleasing to God, whatever effect it produces. Yes, we are an aroma of Christ in that we are the means, the instruments, the vessels dispensing the knowledge of God. When garments are perfumed with frankincense and myrrh, every place that is entered is filled with the fragrance. When a man is filled with Christ, God's divine presence is made known every place he goes. In verse 16, the different views and outcomes of the gospel are conveyed. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? In a Roman triumphal procession, the Roman general will display his treasures and captive amidst a cloud of incense burned for the gods. To those who would live, the aroma was sweet. To those captives destined for death, it came over as a foul stench. When Christians preach the gospel, it is good news to some and repulsive news to others. Believers recognize the life-giving fragrance of the message. To non-believers, however, it smells foul, like death. After a church service one Sunday morning, a woman who had been helped by the message wanted the preacher to know about it. In her enthusiasm, however, she misspoke and said, "Oh, Pastor, your sermon today was exactly what I needed. It was like water to a drowning man." Her confused metaphor reminds us of the dual effect the gospel has on people who hear it. The ones who accept it find it to be life-giving, like water to a person dying of thirst. But to those who reject it, it is like death dealing like water to a drowning man. What a warning this should be to the unsaved. To hear the gospel and trust Christ for salvation brings life, but to continue rejecting him is to guarantee condemnation. It's a matter of life or death. Are you a believer? If you are, then you're part of a victory parade. Jesus is the general, and he has conquered evil. Death, the devil, sin, they've been dealt their death blow at the cross and in the tomb. They threw the best legions they had at General Jesus, and they lost. He's in command. He's on his way home. You're traveling with him. And as in the ancient victory parades, the feet of the soldiers will tramp down the flower petals and release their fragrances. And as those celebrating the victory of them would burn sweet-smelling incense to let everyone in the city know of the victory, in the same way you are living lives that send out signals every bit as powerful as the aromatic signals, your lives are sending out signals which let everyone know that Jesus is alive, that he is the conqueror. He is coming home for the victory celebration. Not everyone is going to be terribly happy about it. There are going to be those who will find the whole thing a stench. There are ones who refuse to align themselves with the conquering general. They'd rather him not be noticed. Maybe they even rather blatantly align themselves with the enemy and mourn his defeat. But let the home coming parade go on. Continue to throw the flower petals. Continue to burn the incense. Don't quit letting the aroma fill the city. Spread the sweet fragrance of Jesus wherever you go, however you can, which is something you do primarily by your actions. Live lives that please God. Ultimately, he is the one who must find the aroma pleasing. We are to God the aroma of Christ, not to our friends, not to our spouse, not to our children, not to our employer, not to our neighbor, but to God. Directing our lives to the Lord, doing it in the name of the general at the head of the procession, Jesus Christ. Who we are, what we do, it finds identity, value, and acceptance through him alone. You spread the fragrance of Jesus in a way that pleases the Lord through a life that is infused by obedience and holy love. Your caring word, your intentional presence, your self-sacrificing assistance to someone in need will break through virtually any barrier. It will have as powerful an effect on one's heart and mind as any aroma could possibly have. I was at my parents' house some time ago, and as I was sitting there, I kept hearing a little at regular intervals, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out at the time what it was, until I finally noticed it, hung neatly over the door, a little automated air freshener, sending a particular fragrance in the air at a steady rate, keeping the atmosphere in that room a certain way. Our actions are like that. Each word, each touch, each helping hand, each listening ear keeps the fragrance of Jesus in the air. As verse 14 says, spreading everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Remember one thing as you read those words. Knowledge in biblical terms always involves doing as well as speaking. I can know about something by mere speech, but I can only truly know something when I am involved. I know about teaching only when I stand before a class. Knowing comes with doing. People will only come to know Jesus when they see you and me doing Jesus, living in intentional, pure, love-filled, caring ways. When our greed and selfishness makes us indistinguishable from anyone else, when we become so insular that our communities don't even notice if we exist or not, when groups in church begin to turn on each other, what kind of fragrance are we sending out? What scent are you leaving behind? There are many public places around the world going scent-free. It's being more and more recognized that certain aromas can cause allergic, even life-threatening reactions in people. There are some who absolutely cannot come into a church out of fear that someone will, as has traditionally been the case, be wearing perfume. If they catch a whiff, a trip to a medical emergency facility may well result. By analogy, we live in a society that would dearly love us to be scent-free from a Christian point of view. The broadly accepted liberal mindset suggests that faith is something to keep private and keep to oneself. Keep your aroma undercover. But the Word of God tells us no. Never. Be pure. Be public. Spread the aroma of Jesus. No matter what others may think, how they respond is not your responsibility. That's between them and the conquering general Jesus. The signals you send out, that is your responsibility, which God takes very seriously. What smells will the Lord find in your life? Will He be pleased? Not everyone will smell your spiritual scent and be pleased, but I challenge you. Despite the naysayers, despite those who would turn up their noses at times, purpose in your heart to always carry the aroma of God, because there are still many out there just praying for a whiff of a sweet fragrance that would expel the foul odors they're currently inhaling. Are you willing to be that person for them? Are you willing to stand up and be counted? Are you willing to do all it takes so that what you're willingly leaving is a fresh fragrance? I pray this morning that you would join the vast army of believers choosing to carry the fragrance of God in your talk and, most importantly, in your walk. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for birthing yourself in us. We thank you, O God, for allowing us to carry that sweet, fresh fragrance, O God, of the gospel. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that those in the hearing, Heavenly Father, of my voice, that we will take on the baton, Heavenly Father, and we will run with it, that we will see, O God, you, O God, and Christ crucified, Heavenly Father, as a sweet aroma. We pray, God, that we will not allow, O God, those that do not believe to hinder us from sharing, hinder us, O God, from telling others about the love of Jesus. But I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that as we come into a knowledge of you, as we come in, O God, to the saving grace of you, that we will look abroad, O God, to those who need Jesus, and we will recognize that people still need the Lord, and we will carry the fragrance, O God, of you wherever we go, whether we are on the bus, whether we are in the supermarket, whether we are walking the street. I pray, God, that we will smell, O God, of the fresh aroma, that our smell, O God, will not be an intentional stench. But I pray, Heavenly Father, this morning, that as we come into you, O God, as we bask in you on a daily basis, that the scent we emit, O God, will draw others to you, that we will teach person, O God, how to live, O God, for you, how to be Christians, how to believe, O God, by the life that we live. So God, I pray that your holy presence will continue, oh God, to envelop us, that your holy presence, almighty God, will continue to saturate us even as we go hither, thither, that we would remember you, almighty God, and we will seek, heavenly Father, to have your name be glorified in our talk, have your name be glorified in our actions, have your name be glorified, oh God, in the speech, heavenly Father, that we will carry on a daily basis. So I pray for your manifold blessings, oh God, upon the hearers of this word this morning. I pray, God, that you will stir their hearts even now to do better. You will stir their hearts even now, even those that might be willingly, oh God, carrying the stench. I pray, God, that as a result of them hearing this word this morning, that it would change from darkness into your marvelous light in the mighty name of Jesus. So let the aroma, oh God, let the fragrance of you, oh God, penetrate through us and go into the atmosphere so that the rooms in which we would enter, oh God, will be filled with freshness, will be filled, oh God, with a fresh aroma of you. So I thank you, almighty God, this morning for doing it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, once again, I want to thank all of you who would have tuned in this morning to another Because He Lives program. I pray this message today has been a blessing to you, and I pray a spirit-filled day to all of you. And whatever ministry you are connected to, may persons be able to smell the sweet aroma of God that emits from your life. So thanks once again as well to the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District and Federal Motor Spirits for sponsoring this program. Enjoy the sweet aroma of this song until next week, where we bring to you another Because He Lives program. Be blessed.
Spirit sound, rushing wind, fire of God, fall within. Holy Ghost, breathe on us, we pray. As we repent, turn from sin, revival embers smoldering. Breath of God, fan us into flame. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out.